Powerful, that little skit, huh? They was acting out chapter 4. Well, this is our last night of Purim. The Feast of Purim, the story of Esther. It's a time to be happy, a time to rejoice, you know, a time to be excited of what took place. 3 days of this, we still happy. Give me some smiles. Yeah, hallelujah. I mean, listen, you going through this story, you if this was us, man, we would be happy, which we have that. And I'm going to explain later, but let's go ahead and get started because I got a good bit of reading. But I'm going to read it fast. I'm not going to take too long. I tell you, here we go. Elohim is not mentioned in the book of Esther even once. But Esther was clear that in this particular situation, a heavenly response was needed for an earthly situation. Esther needed direction. When we need Elohim's grace, fasting and prayer opens the portals for spiritual growth, removes distractions, and places us on a path to humility. Not one time was God ever mentioned in this book. But Esther knew there was only one place, that one throne she can reach to save her people. And we see in chapter 4, 1 through 17, Brother Herman did 1 through 3. And last night was just a timely word. People needed that word last night. It was awesome. So needed. And it's the same thing in this, you know, through the book of Esther. It was a timely word. And, it, you know, God's word is on time. He's never late. Never late. So chapter 4 in Esther, verses 1 through 17, Esther's mission becomes clear. Mordecai tears his clothes and puts on sackcloth and ashes as a sign of public mourning. Mordecai sends a copy of the decree to Esther and asks her to intercede with the king. Esther replies that to approach the king without being summoned is to risk death. Mordecai tells her that she has no choice. Esther tells Mordecai to ask the Jews to fast and pray for 3 days before she will approach the king. So, you know, not only was there fasting and praying involved, but they still had human responsibilities that they had to do. She still had to hold up to her. Even though she was fasting and praying, you still have to do your part. Verse 1. When Mordecai perceived all that was done, Mordecai rent his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out in the midst of the city and cried with a loud and a bitter cry and came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. And in every province, whitherso the king's commandment and his decree came, there were great mourning among the Jews, and fasting, and weeping, and wailing, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. They was going through it. They was about to die, every last one of them. So you can understand why there was weeping and wailing. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved, and she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him, but he received it not. Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, whom he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. So Hatak went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city, which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him, and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Also he gave him the copy of the writings of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther and to declare it unto her. and to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make requests before him for her people. And Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. And all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come into the king, into the inner court, unto the king, into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. So it's not that she didn't want to. She knew her life depended upon it. She knew that if she go without being summoned, that could mean she would die. So you talk about that burden, like that song we sing. Boy, you could imagine having that burden on you. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews." Once he find out that you're a Jew, you dead too, queen or not. You just seen what he did to Vashti. He didn't kill her, but he dethroned her quick like, just because she didn't want to go to a banquet that he summoned. So you think you, a Jew, once that decree went out, you're dead. You no matter what rank you are in his kingdom, queen or not, you're dead. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who know whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Either way, what she had to lose? She don't do it, you die. I do it, I take a chance. 50-50. So hey, let's go for it. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Esther was willing to die to save her people. Sometimes we must stand in courage, even when it's not popular to do so, and risk it all. That pertains to us today. Sometimes, like that song was saying, it's not the time to be quiet. Now is not our time to be quiet, if y'all haven't noticed. It's time for us to take courage, even when it's not popular. And look, let's be honest. Faith Temple is not popular right now. I'm going to let, and I know you already knew, but that's okay. Because, hey, who we here to please? People or God or Yahweh? We here to please him. So, we risking it all. We are risking it all. We diving in. When he said jump, we diving in. It's not popular, but hey, it's all good. He's going to take care of us. We've seen it right here. His provident care. The provision he made throughout this whole book is awesome. Chapter 5, 1 through 14. I got 10 chapters, y'all. But they're not long. Esther's strategy, Haman's fury. King Ahasuerus receives Esther and grants her virtually any request. Esther's request that the king and Haman join her at a banquet. After the banquet, Haman sees Mordecai, who once again refuses to bow. When Zeresh, Haman's wife, suggests that Mordecai be hung, the gallows are prepared. Verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in a royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto her, "What wilt thou, Queen Esther? What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given thee to half of the kingdom." Half of the kingdom. What was her request? And Esther answered, "If it seem good unto the king, let the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I have prepared for him." All she wanted was a banquet. She could have had half of the kingdom, but yet Esther, you talk about humble. Just a banquet. I just want a banquet. Then the king said, "Cause Haman to make haste that he may do as Esther had said." So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And the king said unto Esther at the banquet of wine, "What is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even to half of the kingdom it shall be performed." So he's asking her again. Then answered Esther and said, "My petition and my request is, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king had said." So she asked for a second banquet. The first banquet, now she's asking for a second banquet. "Then went Haman forth the day joyful, with a glad heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up nor moved for him, he was full of indignation against Mordecai." So, boy, he was happy. Just me and the king. That's all the queen wants. Me and the king at this banquet. But when he see old Mordecai, that old Jew, refused to bow when he walked by. And, you know, not that he wasn't doing it out of spite. It's just that he couldn't. He was a Jew. And what they did, I'm only going to bow and worship one man, one God. And that's Yahweh, the Father. I'm not going to bow to man. So he was enraged. He wanted to strangle old Mordecai right there. But he had too much pride already. His chest was poked out. Just them two was, boy, just going to this banquet. Nevertheless, Haman refrained himself. And when he came home, he sent and called for his friends and Zeresh, his wife. And Haman told them of the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things wherein the king had promoted him and how he had advanced him above the princes and servants of the king. He promoted him as the prime minister in his kingdom. He had big, nice, I bet this beautiful land, nice house, jacuzzi tub, people probably washing him, all that good stuff. Boy, he was the man, and he was promoting it. Me, I'm the man, Haman. Haman said moreover, "Yeah, Esther the queen did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared but myself." Only me. Nobody else. Out of 127 provinces. That's a huge, huge kingdom. And out of all that, just me and the king. Just two of us. "Yet all this availeth me nothing so long as I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate." So even though he was in, you know, he had his wrong ideas why he was getting invited to this banquet, it still made him so he couldn't even enjoy it. Because he was still so angry that Mordecai refused to bow to him. Boy, you think he had some pride? Gee whiz. "Then said Zeresh his wife and all his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high, and tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai may be hanged thereon. Then go thou in merrily with the king unto the banquet, and the king please Haman. And the thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made." He was getting advice from the wrong people. He should have been seeking advice from the father, and he's seeking advice from some knucklehead friends and his wife. Oh, boy. Chapter 6, 1 through 10, the reversal begins. The king can't sleep and acts to hear the royal chronicles. For the first time, the king learns of the assassination plot that Mordecai had revealed that same night. Haman comes to see the king about hanging Mordecai. Before Haman can speak, the king tells Haman to honor Mordecai by dressing him in royal garments, to place him on a royal stallion, and to personally lead him through the streets of Shushan, capital of Persia. That night, of all the nights, that night, before he come. And not only that night, what? He asked for the chronicles. You a king. You thinking about the chronicles of, you know, just things that's going on in your castle? There's so many other things you could have been thinking of, but no, you wanted to read that. You think he ain't working? Even when he don't see it, he's working. He's working. On that night, could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles that they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told of, here we go, Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand on King Ahasuerus. But listen, that Mordecai was in the right place at the right time. He had no idea, but he knew he had to be at the king's gate day after day after day after day. And lo and behold, just being obedient, spirit-led, he gets wind, he gets ear of these of what these two chambers wants to do to the king. And the king said, what honor and dignity had been done to Mordecai for this? What did we do? Then said the king's servant that ministered unto him, there is nothing done for him. Whoa, nothing? Hold on, we're going to fix this. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him that night, the night before. Haman was coming. Guns ablazing. He wanted him hung. And look, let's remember, hung wasn't what we think hanging was. It wasn't no noose. He was putting him on a pole and he was impaling him. That's what they did back then. And I don't have to go into great details what impale means. We know what that means. And the king's servant said unto him, behold, Haman standeth in the court. And the king said, let him come in. So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man who the king delighted to honor? What you think, Haman, my prime minister? What you think should be done for somebody who I want to really, really bless? I mean, I want to bless like I never blessed nobody before. Now, Haman thought in his heart, wow, the heart is deceitful. Don't trust your heart. Don't trust the heart. You think Haman should have been rehearsing the scripture? The Old Testament? To whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself, he thought. And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delighted to honor, boy, he's about to let him have it. Let the royal apparel be brought, which the king use it to wear, and the horse that the king rided upon, and the crown royal. We don't want no crown royal up in the scripture. Crown royal, which is set upon his head. And ain't that crazy? Even if the crown royal thing's got the king. Oh, man. All right. Crown royal. Not raw. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of the one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man with all whom the king delighted to honor, and bring him on a horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighted to honor. Let's give it to him, king. Pour it upon him. Give him your horse, your royal horse. Then the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even so to Mordecai the Jew. Oh, king. I take that back, king. Let me tell you something else what to do to this Mordecai the Jew. Don't give him all of that. Not Mordecai. I can't stand Mordecai. That sitteth at the king's gate, let nothing fail of all that thou hast spoken. You said it, Haman. So we know, and then you keep on reading in chapter 6, Haman had to take him. Probably had his head down. This is old Mordecai with the king. Told me to parade around the city of Persia. Oh, boy. Chapter 7, 1 through 8, reversal of fortune. At the second banquet, Esther reveals her identity and announces that she and her people are to be murdered. Esther identifies Haman as her arch enemy. The king has Haman hung on the gallows, that had been prepared for Mordecai. Verse 1, so the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. Then Esther the queen answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, and if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. Let my life be given me. My petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, and I, my people, to be destroyed, to be slain, and to perish. But if we have been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, I held my tongue. If we were sold to be slaves, I wouldn't even mention this to you, O king. I would just keep my mouth shut. Although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. Then the king Xerxes answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he and where is he that durst presume in his heart to do so? And Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is old wicked Haman. So before she even pointed him out, as she's telling the king all this, boy, I bet you he started sweating. Mouth got dry. Probably wanted to run out of that room. Then Haman was afraid before the king and queen. And the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went into the palace garden. And Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen, for he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed whereunto Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in my house? Would he force? Will he trying to rape the queen in front of me? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. And back then, once they put that over you, you're good as dead. You're done. Chapter 8, 1 through 11. The reversal is complete. Mordecai is named prime minister to replace Haman. A second royal edict is put in place, empowering the Jews to fight and kill anyone who would try to harm them. See, he had to put a second edict in place. Because once the first one is just done. He couldn't take it back. So he had to issue out another one. On that day did the king of Xerxes give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther, the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it unto Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good. You know, and he did the same thing. Every day we should be rejoicing and happy and just excited about life. Because what he did right here, he did in the garden. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good. One man's sin, death entered the world. We was doomed to die with sin forever. What he did, he sent his only begotten son. The reversal began. That very day, the reversal began. He didn't wait. It's not like God had to think of what to do. As soon as they was deceived, the reversal began. Because he knew. He knew I was going to send my son to save his people. Us. That is us. And Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agite and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman and the son of Hammedatha, the Agite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Then the king of Xerxes said unto Esther, the queen, and to Mordecai, the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and rulers of the provinces which are from India unto Ethiopia, and 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writings and according to their language. And he wrote in the king of Xerxes' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent letters by post on horseback and riders, on mules, camels, and young dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. So he commanded them, you can even take their stuff. But we've seen in, you know, the first three chapters, they didn't even touch their spoil. They wouldn't even take it. Didn't even want it. It says plunder in some versions. I only know that because my son asked me what plunder meant. So I had to research it a little bit. I want to read that verse 18 and verse 8 because I thought it was pretty cool what happened. Verse 17 of that same chapter in verse 8. It says, and in every province and in every city, whitherso the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. Listen to this. You ever heard the term, you can't beat them, join them? And many of the people of the land became Jews. What? For the fear of the Jews fell upon them. What? I'm going to be a Jew. I guarantee you, you just killed, y'all just reversed everything that was gonna be done to y'all. Yeah, transform me into a Jew. I want to be a Jew. Can't beat them, join them. Chapter 9, verse 18 through 22, the holiday of Purim. On the 13th of Adar, a day that had been designated for Jews' destruction, the Jews are victorious over their enemies. The 10 sons of Haman are hung. The 14th and the 15th of Adar are designated to celebrate the salvation. These are the days of Purim. Mordecai initiates the Purim practices, consisting of a festive meal and the exchange of gifts of food and the giving of monetary gifts to the poor. Verse 18, but the Jews that were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 15th day of the same day rested, and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month Adar a day of gladness and feasting, and a good day, and of sending portions one to another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus, both nigh and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month Adar and the 15th day of the same yearly. They should keep it yearly. As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them from sorrow to joy, from mourning into a good day, mourning, not like mourning, like sad, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and of sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. Chapter 10, Mordecai and Persia. Persia, with Mordecai as prime minister, flourished. The role of Mordecai in the history of the Persian Empire is recorded in the King's Chronicles. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea, and all the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. O Mordecai, who was just by the king's gate, day after day after day, being obedient, being spirit-led, had it reversed, and he took over everything Haman had, everything. Elohim demands obedience. Esther's obedience saved her people from debt. The reality is that Esther didn't know what would happen when she approached the king. She acted in obedience, and by doing so, she saved the nation and received the best. We don't get a pass on this one. We still have to obey. No part of our lives is untouched. Elohim is in control of every aspect, whether we want him to be or not. And there is nothing that is not subject to him. And the best thing we can do for our lives is to search for and surrender to his will. We are giving divine moments to alter circumstances. There's times in our lives that, you know, there's moments that we gotta obey. We got to do what he tells us to do. You never know what the outcome is. You never know if it's someone's life at stake. As believers, there are no such thing as accidents or coincidence. Elohim's timing is providential. Esther's divine moment of providence came by accepting her responsibility to go to the king. Elohim will use you only if you're ready, or he will find someone else. And you best believe he will. If he calls you to a place or tells you to do something and you don't, he's gonna make a way. Somebody's gonna be doing some praying somewhere. Somebody's gonna be listening. Somebody's gonna humble themselves, and he's gonna raise them up to do what you should have done. And then what? Then where you at? And that was the end. That was quick. We had some long nights, but it was worth it. This Purim was awesome. like I said, from the first night to the second night to the last night, the timely word that people got was important. That's why it's so important that you just, you know, it's a Monday night. I don't feel like going. You never know what God has in store for you. You never know the word you're going to miss. That's why you just have to push through and persevere. And just when you don't want to go, that's when you go. When you're feeling that you shouldn't go, that's when you go. So that was our Purim for this year. I thank y'all for each and every one of y'all that has come out and persevered and pushed through it. And, you know, came three nights. Sunday was a long day. Saturday was a long day. That was, you know, 4 or 5 days in a row, man. But, hey, say like that, but did anybody die? Nobody died. Well, I love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Thank y'all. Thursday, let's not forget the announcement, Thursday Bible study at the homes, and Saturday, understanding the words of Jesus, and then again Sunday. It's been a good week. It's going to be a good week. Amen. Well, y'all dismiss, and I'll see y'all Thursday. Some of y'all.